We have a voice of wisdom for you today at the Radio Backyard Fence. Back in 1985, he founded Crown Ministries, which later merged with another ministry led by Larry Burkett. And today's guest published books and was on the radio, giving great financial advice to readers and listeners. And a few weeks ago, I heard about a big change in his life. So today we're going to glean wisdom from a man named Howard Dayton. Thanks for joining us today on Chris Fabry Live. And thanks to our teammates behind the scenes, Ryan McConaughey, doing all things technical. Tricia McMillan is our producer. No one is on the phones today because our conversation with Howard is recorded. But I do want to thank those of you who support us financially. Friends and partners help us bring you these conversations every day. And let me mention here, when you give a gift of any size each month, you get my weekly videos, The Back Fence Post, you get a signed copy of a novel I wrote, The Promise of Jesse Woods, and you receive our thank you, or you can receive our thank you each month. So become a partner with us today at the website, chrisfabrylive.org. ChrisFabryLive.org, or you can call us at 866-95-FABRY and give 866-953-2279. And thanks for your support at the Radio Backyard Fence. Howard Dayton was born in October of 1943, right in the middle of World War II, raised in Daytona Beach, and through the years, he has been a good friend of Moody Radio and a voice of wisdom to me and others like me, who have had the chance to speak to him through the years. I heard some news from a colleague about Howard, and so I asked him, hey, Howard, would you join us today? That's what we're going to do. Howard Dayton, how you doing, friend?
Great. Wonderful to be with you, Chris.
So let's start with this news. There's a big change in your life. Tell me what happened.
Yeah, I'm 80 years old, and I had I realized my short-term memory was being compromised a little bit, so I told my general practitioner. He referred me to a neurologist, and they did a CAT scan. They did testing, PET scan, whatnot, and they came back with a diagnosis I wasn't prepared for, and that was you've got amyloid plaque on your brain, which means that you're on your way to dementia. Probably Alzheimer's. And so it took a few days, better part of a week, Chris, for me to get my bearing again, because that really wasn't what I had planned for my future. But it has been really an amazing experience in the best sense of the word. So very thankful that the Lord has allowed me to have this opportunity, because really, as I like to explain it to people, for the first 45 years of my ministry experience, I was passionate about people learning God's way of handling money. Then when I turned 70, I became passionate about people finishing their lives well. And the Lord chose not to take me home like my daddy, a sudden heart attack, but rather to give me this opportunity to recognize, my life really, as I know it, really is short, and to grasp this opportunity to finish well, not to pack it in, not to mope around, but to go for the gusto, go for the gold. And finish well in a way that would please Christ, a way that would honor him, and a way that would influence other people.
Which is probably part of the reason why you said yes to doing this, right?
That's right. Exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah. Here's an opportunity. So, but in your response to that, it sounds like you didn't just shove it aside and move past it quickly and say, well, God's good and I'm going to believe in him and et cetera, et cetera. It was a struggle for you to get to where you are today, right?
It really was. That that week was a hard week, that first week, just trying to get my arms around it. Fortunately, I've got a wonderful wife. I have some very close buddies. So I'm talked to each of them, and they encouraged me and, you know, helped me, as I put it, walk through the weeds to get my bearings. And I can vividly remember Chris coming to grips with it and saying, you know, God is extending me a wonderful opportunity. During that week of going through the weeds, became aware that something like 35% of baby boomers, you know, my era, are going to get dementia or Alzheimer's. And so this is not uncommon. And what an opportunity to communicate to them that as long as you're able, make a difference for Christ. I mean, in every possible way. And I've had over the past month or so, really a tremendous sense of well-being, a sense of excitement, a sense of an adventure that, you know, the Lord is extending me this opportunity to continue to serve people, to continue to influence folks for Christ. I'm more free in telling folks about Jesus and how they can come to know their Savior than I have been the last several years. And I mean, it's, you know, I wouldn't have chosen it, but God chose it. And if He chose it, I know it's the best thing for me, and Lord willing, should be the best thing for those that I can communicate with.
That's Howard Dayton talking about the hard diagnosis and the good God who is walking with him. Listen to this voice of wisdom as we continue with his story today on Chris Fabry Live. Online, chrisfabrylive.org. This is Chris Fabry Live, online at chrisfabrylive.org. We're hearing from Howard Dayton on the program today. Our program is recorded. Don't call us. I want you to hear something that happened at the beginning of the broadcast. I've known that Howard's wife's name is Beverly, and I'm going to keep this next section as recorded because this is real life. I asked Howard how Beverly reacted to his dementia diagnosis.
Well, Chris, actually, Bev passed away 6 years ago, and it was a five-year journey in her life with, started out breast cancer. She had a double mastectomy, then it spread to her bones, and I was her caregiver, and particularly the last year was, you know, excruciatingly painful for her, and probably as the doctors have tried to revisit what happened to me, that pressure may have actually contributed to some of the brain challenge that I'm feeling today. After Bev had passed away for a year, my daughter asked me to pray about remarriage, something that hadn't been on my radar screen. I said, honey, I'll do that. Only one name came to mind. It was a woman I had met 30 years ago and seen one time. And I said, Lord, I believe, Chris, that every time there's a major decision, you want to make sure you have God's affirmation before you do something. So I said, Lord, if you want me to connect with her, you're going to do it. I'm not going to take the initiative because I want to make sure it's you and not my memory of her being a pretty girl. And about 6 weeks later, got a note of condolence from her for Bev's passing. And it included her email address. And I said, you know, I think that's the most, that's the first letter of condolence that I received that had an email address. So I felt the liberty to follow up, and long story short, a year later we got married, and she has been a blessing to me, godly gal, and so she, you know, is walking through this with me, and I'm very thankful that the Lord brought Lynn into my life so that I could do that.
Wow. Okay, so here's the deal, Howard. I had no idea
that I understand
that. Passed away, and
yes,
I could have, you know, repaired this in a way and made it all right, but I'm dealing with the shock of that and not knowing it. And maybe I heard 6 years ago and I just, you know, I forgot it.
No, don't. Why don't you let's keep this story.
I want to, because the power of this program is it's real.
Right.
And so what I did just now was, you know, I didn't know everything and that's okay. And so I want to know more about Lynn, but that crucible of walking through those days of losing Bev, the doctors really think part of that may have contributed to the struggle that you're having today, right?
Because it's not just amyloid plaque. There's some evidence of a brain bleed. Played football my senior year in college. Could have been trauma there, or it could have been a mini stroke, just under the pressure of seeing her in such agony.
Yeah. I want to go back to this email at the end of the condolence. This almost sounds like a Hallmark romance movie, Howard.
Yeah, it sure did. Yeah, as I mentioned, Chris, I remember her as a beautiful woman. Only met her once, very briefly. And again, I'm a big believer that anytime you have a large decision to make, a big decision, you really need to have God's clear affirmation. And that's why I didn't want to answer in the flesh or reach out in the flesh, but rather let God do it. I had three criteria before I would remarry, that the person would have to know Jesus, would have to be in love with Christ and really serious about following him, and that I would just have to be so in love with her that I could caregive her for an extended period of time, just as I had with my first wife, Bev, because I remember her as a beautiful woman. What I wanted to do is to find out before I met her, because I didn't want to be influenced by her looks, where she was with the Lord. So we went through a couple of books together. Humility by Andrew Murray, Trusting God by Jerry Bridges, two books that had a huge impact on my life. And every 2 weeks we would talk for an hour. And it was clear to me that she did have a very vibrant relationship with Christ. And that's when we got together for the first time.
What you just shared is going to help somebody who is on a similar trail as yours, or maybe a young person, because those three criteria that you just mentioned are good for anybody of any age, you know, knowing Jesus, in love with Jesus, and so in love with a person that you can say yes to them for better, for worse, you know,
that's
sickness
right.
and health, rich or poor, all that. So how has Lynn responded to this news?
She's been fantastic. I mean, she is a rock, an encourager. She hadn't blinked. I mean, she's been there every step of the way. I've had her in all the doctor's meetings. So there's complete transparency in our relationship, and the doctors are getting to know her. So I just could not be more thankful to the Lord Christ for bringing Lynn into my life, and not just for this. She's an amazing woman in her own right. And it's been an interesting journey for us, but it's been a very precious and dear journey for us.
Yeah. Did she have the same struggle early on? You know, that week that was the low week for you, was it the same for her?
No, she really didn't. She was right out of the box, Chris. She was affirming, encouraging, and really communicated that she took our vows seriously, and that we were in it for life, regardless of what the circumstances might be.
So it sounds like the Lord has been your shepherd through this time. Psalm 23, he has met you in this valley and he's walking with you. Is that fair to say?
Well, it's more than fair to say. I mean, he has just been so gracious in so many ways. And really what's one of the kindest things, the part of the brain that's been affected so far has just been short-term memory. The long-term stuff, my ability to have strategic planning, to be involved in complex conversations, hasn't been impacted at all. And wow. So I'm very thankful for that. That's not true for everybody. You right. just don't know what part of the brain's going to be impacted. But I'm very, very thankful for that. So I've maintained my relationships. I still serve on some boards, and you know, I'm actively, just as actively involved as I've ever been. One thing that has been said consistently by the doctors and nurses, they've said, you know, you're doing the right things. You've exercised regularly for, you know, since I was 18. You've by God's grace been able to control your weight. He said, and both of those things are really significant when it comes to the brain and its health, which is something I had no clue about. And that's, so I would encourage everybody, if you know, they're not strong in those areas, that, you know, just be consistent. You don't have to do a ton, but just start in those areas. It really makes a difference in ways that I really had no clue that it would.
Yes. We did a program a few months ago, and I had people call in and talk about specifically Alzheimer's and the trail that they were walking with a loved one. And because you hear there's so much fear and there's so much, oh, this is a terrible disease, and it is. But I said, has there been anything that's happened through this? You know, what are the... I don't want to say, you know, the good points, the upsides.
Right.
But I just said, is there anything good that has come out of it? And you, Howard, you would not believe how many people called. I remember one young man who said, yeah, it's a terrible disease, but there were sweet years with my dad as we were kind of saying goodbye to him, and the ability to show the love to him that he had shown to us for all these years. And that it was a family, instead of a fracturing time, it was a bonding time for them.
Yes.
And those stories just, you know, they slayed me because they were so deeply hurting and painful, you know, because you can't talk about that without saying, yeah, there's a lot of pain here, but that there was so much good that the people came away from. It really encouraged me.
Yeah, and I think that can be true not only for the family and friends, but also for the patient. Really, I'm having a really, really sweet time with the Lord. His word's been, you know, very alive and powerful every single morning for me, and that's a gift. And just the opportunity to have the luxury of being able to meet with people and express your affection and what their friendship has meant to you over the years, or people that serve with you in ministry. And it's a gift from the Lord. I'm really grateful for that.
Which takes us to, you know, short-term memory is a little fuzzy, but the long-term memory is good still. Can you take me back to the point where you became a follower of Jesus and you trusted him?
Yeah, I was 28 years old, Chris. I finished my education, spent 2 years in the Navy and going through officer candidate school, and then tour of duty in Vietnam. And moved back to Orlando. I was from Daytona Beach originally. And I picked Orlando because my sole objective in life was to become as rich as I could, as quickly as I could. I didn't care about people. I was dishonest in my business dealings. I just wanted to get rich. And met a fellow named Jim Seneff. Jim had gone to Wheaton College, had been on Campus Crusade staff, just a really, really bright guy, you know, early in his business career. And he's the one who really introduced me, was responsible for me coming to know Christ. And then over a Christmas vacation, Jim read through the book of Proverbs. And I'll never forget it. He came back to the office. We'd become partners. And he said, you know, Dayton, I read through Proverbs, and it says a lot about money. You know, we're starting our families. We're starting our business. You know, I really don't know what it says about money. And so why don't we do this? Why don't we read through the Bible and let's split it in two. Let me read the New Testament. You can read the Old Testament. I'd never read the Old Testament. I didn't know it was four times as large. But that year changed my life. And we identified each of the 2,350 verses. We typed them by hand because this was before the era of personal computers. And then we took a pair of scissors, cut off each verse, and asked ourselves, what does this verse say? If it dealt with God's ownership, we'd put it in that pile, or debt, or giving, had all these piles around the office. It took us about a year to go through them and to get everything categorized. And it radically changed my life. And that really was the beginning of my calling to this area of ministry because of the impact God's word had on my life and my finances.
And when you, since he read the New Testament, you weren't reading about Jesus. I mean, you were, but it wasn't specific. He wasn't specifically mentioned. So how did you come into that relationship?
Well, that occurred actually before he asked me to join him in the study of the Bible. I had been introduced through his influence to a man who actually led me to Christ. And that happened about a year before we started the study of the Bible in terms of what it said about money.
So if that criterion for marrying somebody or getting remarried was know Jesus and be in love with Christ, is that what you started off with, or did you grow into that?
You know, before I was introduced to Christ, I thought he was a fairy tale. In fact, the girl I was dating at the time, Bev, who became my wife, I'll never forget it. We were out one evening, and she started telling me about Jesus, and I said, don't ever talk to me about Christ again. I think he's just a fairy tale. And she wisely didn't push back. I'm sure she redoubled her prayers, and I'm pretty certain that's why ultimately I was introduced to Christ about 6 months after that.
You know what I find it interesting, Howard, is that you say that now, I mean, you were sharing your faith through your books and the radio and Hey Howard, you know, the program and all that. You were sharing that all along. But now you say that there is a new freedom here at 80 years old to do that. And it just strikes me that it wasn't the diagnosis necessarily that gave you that, but it was this, what was it? Why do you feel like you have more freedom now?
I think it's because I realize that my time on earth is short. It's certainly short with respect to my ability to communicate and function as I have my whole life. And so I am much more careful how I invest my time, try to be about the things that are really important. And part of the things that are really important is to share your faith with people. Not only have I done it, but I've loved doing it. And I'm so appreciative, as I mentioned earlier, Chris, for the Lord giving me this window of time that I can just go for it. And, you know, when I was in that first few days of trying to get my bearings, I mean, it was a dark place. And now it's just like, wow, what an opportunity to, you know, I've called up friends from college. I've called up friends from the Navy, you know, and ask them if they've known Christ. And I mean, it's given me a lot of freedom and energy to really invest my life in that, which is really important. I mean, I don't want to go to heaven without these guys. I just want them to be there with me and have invited them to join me if they would.
I hope you're enjoying this conversation with Howard Dayton half as much as I am today to hear his heart. You can find out more about him. Go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. We are having kind of a bittersweet conversation with Howard Dayton today at the Radio Backyard Fence. We'll get right back to that conversation in just a moment. I want to mention Karenette here. I do that just about every day at this time, and I hope it's getting through. I'm so thankful that there are people who are ready to respond at some 1,200 pregnancy resource centers around the country and on the phone line, the pregnancy decision line where counselors answer the phone. I'm so glad that there are people who are so committed to the unborn and to the born that they are willing to sacrifice. They're willing to give of themselves through the ministry of CareNet. Here's the other thing. CareNet can't do it alone, though. And that's why they started their church engagement initiative. What could happen in your community, in your church, if you established a team to walk alongside women and men facing these pregnancy decisions and your church becomes a lighthouse for life? Find out about the training that will turn your church into a central point of compassion in your community. Click the green CareNet button today at chrisfabrylive.org. chrisfabrylive.org. You've heard Howard Dayton on the radio. You probably read some of his books on finances. We're getting an opportunity to talk with him today at the Radio Backyard Fence, one of our voices of wisdom in that series that we're doing here at the back fence. I want you to talk to the man or the woman who identifies with what you said about, I'm in this to make money. And maybe they don't, you know, cut corners and do anything unethical, as you mentioned a little earlier that you did early on. But they just, you know, they feel and want to get ahead. They want to build the empire. They want to leave a legacy, et cetera, et cetera. And everything, every waking moment is about doing more, making more, investing more, getting more. What would you say to the man or woman who's on that treadmill?
It's a dangerous treadmill. If you know Christ, and you know, I was on that treadmill after I'd been introduced to Christ for a while, your heart is not in the right place. I think the key thing to remember is, 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. This is my life verse. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. In other words, he owns everything. We adore you as being in control of everything. Your hand controls power and might, and is at your discretion. Men are made great and given strength. And we do have a responsibility. You know, Psalm 24:1, it's, you know, recognize that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But 1 Corinthians 4:2, it is required as stewards, that's you and I, that one be found faithful. So we're to handle money. We're to work according to the principles of Scripture. We're to work as unto the Lord. We're to handle our resources as faithful stewards according to the principles of God's Word. And time again in God's Word, the pursuit of riches is discouraged, because it gets our eyes off of Christ and onto the riches. And so I would just be careful if you have the same appetite that I used to have in terms of getting ahead and making a ton of money. I mean, I used to rationalize it sometimes, Chris, of gosh, if I had a lot, think of the platform I would have for Christ.
Yes.
But that really was not my my root reason for pursuing that.
Let me have you go back in your memory 20 plus years, because it was 20 years ago in 2003 that Larry Burkett passed away.
Yes.
And he was a huge influence in your life, wasn't he?
He was. He, in 2000, you know, the ministry that I started, Crown, had grown. I mean, the Lord did it totally. It was doing well. And Larry had been diagnosed with cancer. It was the type of cancer that typically up to that point was fatal within 3 years. And he came down, I'll never forget it, he came down to my office in Orlando. And during the time, he clenched his fists and said, you know, I'm opening my hands. He just opened his hands. I'm not holding on to Christian Financial Concepts, which was the name of his ministry, tightly. Let's merge. You know, I want you to serve as the CEO. Let's make this thing happen. And, you know, Chris, with some people who were really well-known, and Larry was, as you know, extraordinarily well-known around the country because of his programs on Moody and many, many stations. But the closer you got to Larry, the bigger he got, because he was a humble person. With a lot of people who were well-known, the closer you get to them, the smaller they get, because it's all about them. With Larry, it was all about Christ. And so he had a huge influence on me. So very, very grateful for those 3 years that the Lord allowed us to serve together before he went home to be with the Lord he loved so much.
You know, when I would have Larry on the old Open Line program, and we would try different ways to get him on, you know, can we use a phone as a headset and all this kind of stuff. And every time he would go back to that old, you know, the old rotary style phone or whatever he had there in the office, because it sounded better. But he always asked about, before we went on, he'd always ask about, how's your dad doing? Because my dad had a heart attack in the 80s. And he was, how's your dad doing? He wasn't doing that because he was checking off a list. You really could tell that he cared, you know?
Yeah.
And the other thing that I remember from him was, you know, talking about, we had a lot of kids and strapped financially and, you know, talking about cars. And he was a big believer, don't ever buy that new car and drive it off the lot. You got to go out and find a used car. And he loved, you know, buying those old used cars, didn't he?
He did. He did. Buying them used and fixing them up. I mean, he did.
Well, I wanted to mention his name here today, Howard. I wanted to mention Larry Burkett's name here today because you strike me as that same kind of person. And you mentioned Andrew Murray's Humility book. You know, it's like you catch that from other people who live that way, don't you?
You do. No question about it. I've been deeply influenced by several people like Larry Burkett who walk humbly before the Lord. And there's just, you know, a sweet aroma of their life that is so attractive. And it's not them, it's the Holy Spirit who has the freedom to work in their lives and through their lives and produce fruit that you just can't do in the flesh.
Yeah. Other than losing Bev, was there any other big loss in your life, big valley that you've gone through in the last 80 years, other than the current one that you're going through?
Yes, we a couple. We had a little baby boy that we adopted, and a beautiful child named Andrew, and discovered about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months after we had adopted him, that he was just born with a stem of his brain. He lived until he was three, and that was really painful for Bev and I, because he was a precious, precious little child. And then, the decoupling from Crown was a challenge to me, a ministry that started in my garage. And when that decoupling occurred, that was painful. But all these, in retrospect, all these painful events, God, as I've read in books that I really admire, the authors, that God really can't use us broadly till he hurts us deeply. And so if you're going through a hard time, it's part of it is God working in your life to make you the woman or man that he wants you to be for his purposes. And don't get bitter. It's hard not to get discouraged during the depths of them, but the Lord loves us like crazy. He cares for us, and he wants us to experience him in a deeper way. And often that happens in those challenging times.
And that's where you have to exercise your faith. You really have to believe in spite of the evidence, which is basically what the psalmist does. All the psalmists do. They have this lament, why are you so far away from me? And then realizing and choosing to believe, no, you're not far. You're right here. You're walking with me. So we have to exercise that faith in the valley in order to lay hold of what you were talking about just a little bit ago with the Chronicles passage.
That's right. Exactly right, Chris.
That's Howard Dayton. We'll continue with this conversation here at the Radio Backyard Fence. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. I have not mentioned Howard Dayton's many books that he's written through the years. Here are just a few. Your Money, Frustration or Freedom. Your Money Counts, Free and Clear. Your Money Map, which is highly recommended. Money and Marriage, God's Way. Business, God's Way. ABCs of Handling Money, God's Way. You can find out more about Howard Dayton. And you wrote a book, wrote that ABCs book with Bev, as well as the book The Secret, which is for children ages 8 to 12. So you and Bev had this long relationship that where you worked together, you've had the long marriage together, and then you took care of her right there at the end. And I wonder if there, can you go back to, because you've told us Lynn's story, can you go back to when Bev, you said Bev is the one. How did you know that she was the one all those years ago?
Well, after school, and the Navy, when I moved to Orlando to get rich, as I mentioned earlier, I'd gone to the hotel school at Cornell, and there was my classmates, very creative guy, built a restaurant and a bar, railroad themed out of three boxcars laid side by side, and it was wildly successful. So I ran into one of my roommates from the hotel school in Orlando, and I said, we're trying to figure out what we're going to do with life. And we said, hey, the railroad-themed restaurant and bar worked in Ithaca, New York. It's got to work in Orlando. So we built the Caboose restaurant, which was a caboose, five railroad boxcars around a central building. It was enormously successful, but that wasn't God's agenda. God's agenda was to bring, first and foremost, Bev Dayton into my life. Secondly, the fellow who led me to Christ. And thirdly, an attorney who helped me with a liquor license, who became my best friend. We've walked closely together now for 47 years. I mean, that was his agenda. And he just used the Caboose as a tool to really change the trajectory of my life.
You've mentioned these fellows a few times now, this one friend who's walked with you 47 years. A lot of men in this culture, and Christian men, don't have friends. They don't have, you know, you ask them to say, who are your close friends? And they can't name one person that they can call at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, I need your help. It sounds like you have had those kinds of friendships with men through the years. How did you do that? Or why was it important to you?
I can say this, Chris, on this end of my life, especially when you get the bad news, in my case, about the dementia, maybe leading to Alzheimer's, I wouldn't trade these relationships for anything. And I keep telling folks now, you know, better to have, especially guys, better to have 3 or 4 deep, close relationships than dozens of just friendships. Jess Carell from Stanford, Kentucky, I talk with him at 7:30 in the morning every Saturday, no matter where we are in the world, and have been doing that for almost 30 years now with Tim Mayner, my buddy here in Winter Park, Florida. We walk every Saturday morning. So those deep relationships, when you get the bad news, you've got people who know you really, really well. I know one reason that I'm doing as well as I am, and I'm really doing well spiritually and emotionally, is because of these long-term close relationships. And the best time to start, no matter what age you are, is right now. You know, just praying that God will bring just the right person or people into your life who do love Christ. I think that's, you know, a criteria that I would make sure is important, who know the Lord, who are interested in growing in the Lord, who want to, you know, encourage you in your walk with Christ. There, you know, how good and precious it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And when you have close brothers through the joys of life or through the vicissitudes of life, it makes all the difference in the world.
We've talked a lot about the valley. Howard, can you take me to a mountaintop experience that you had? And I think earlier, if I'd asked you this question, you know, 50 or 60 years ago, you would have said it's got to be a business thing. You know, it's got to be this, the mountaintop is making a lot of money, you know, that type of thing. But I want to hear what you would say would be a mountaintop experience for you in your life that you see from this vantage point.
Well, Chris, I just had one about a month ago. We had our Global Compass annual conference, and there I was listening to these people from around the world, from places I'll never go. I mean, hard places, Belarus, places in Africa, and just story after story of the impact that God's word is having in this financial arena within their part of the world. In fact, I was with one of the fellows who's with a ministry called Faith Comes by Hearing, which focuses on the languages where there's no alphabet. It's just an oral language. I was telling me that in Africa, Central Africa, what they found with the new satellite technology is that they can tell when a native gets what they call a proclaimer, a solar-powered handheld device that contains God's word in their language. They can tell when it's opened, what they listen to, how frequently they do it. And what they discovered was that the area on money, you know, our area teaching, was the most visited and the first one that people went to. So they put the teaching on what God said about money in the very beginning of the proclaimer. Instead of starting at Genesis, it was on money. And what they discovered was people actually read the whole Bible much more frequently because they got them where their life, you know, where they itch. And it doesn't matter if it's dollars or Deutschmarks or pesos or beads. you know, money is a real issue, a real area of struggle, a real area of interest throughout the globe. And that really was, honestly, one of the highlights of my life.
That's fantastic. And I think it was at that meeting that you revealed to folks what was going on in your life. How did they respond?
Well, with compassion, concern, and encouragement would be the way I describe it. You know, just precious people, and you know, just is so much fun to see people from every tongue and tribe, every places. From all over the world who love Christ and are passionate about people learning God's word in this financial arena.
Yeah. Howard, let's just keep the conversation going, you know, and because I'm not going to say, you know, this is the last time we're ever going to talk to Howard Dayton. We don't know what God's going to do. We don't know what's up. But so there are going to be more conversations that we'll have. And I can't tell you how encouraging this hour has been to hear you kind of do this flyover of your own life and the desire that you have to finish well and to put the pedal to the metal of the gospel and go forward. It's been great to get to hear your heart today.
Well, Chris, I've loved it, and I'm deeply grateful for your ministry and have been for years. God's gifted you, and you've been faithful. And no telling how many people the Lord's had you touch.
What a treat to get to talk with Howard Dayton today. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, we have more information about him right there, chrisfabrylive.org. Our program is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. Thanks a lot for listening.